Good morning, everybody. Good morning. Good morning. Come on in. Come on in. So good to see you. Welcome, welcome, welcome. It is great to see you guys, as we do every morning in financial consciousness training. I hope everybody's doing well. And come on in and get comfortable. I think I have a good conversation for today that can really be a great economic awareness exercise. And actually, it has. I love to. I love to look at the news and see what's happening in the world and really connect the world to the classroom because as I mentioned to you all before, maybe you've heard me say this, but everything that's in a book came from the world. So as a professor, we write the books. So rather than me just giving you what's in a book, I said, let's just go to the world. Let's go to the source, like the biology teacher who says, let's just go out in nature and we can talk about the birds and the bees and photosynthesis and everything else. And I don't know if anybody, did anybody see that eclipse? I thought that eclipse was pretty cool. I didn't go outside to look at it. I just saw the videos and stuff. I was working on stuff. But yeah, but that was kind of cool. I don't know, just a little side thought. But anyway, I hope everybody's doing well and I hope that your investments are doing well. Last night we had a meeting of the Prime program where we were talking about stock options and different ways to make money with stock options. And again, my vote is that if I could pick give my child one money making skill, I would rather have them have a capital base and learn how to sell stock options than like spend a bunch of years in school to become a medical doctor or whatever. We actually literally last night went through an example where I showed you how a family that simply makes a 10-year plan could put their child in a position where they would make more money than a surgeon without going to medical school for 12 years and then 5 years of residency and 18-hour shifts and having to memorize 10 million pages of medical books. And this is real. I mean, this is a real thing. When it comes to making money, the reason that you come to financial consciousness training is because if you're aware of where money is, how money works, how to get it, then you're going to be better. You're going to be better equipped at obtaining money than people who are not aware. You'd be amazed at how many people don't really have a lot of economic awareness that are still sitting around hoping that they can make money. And I'm sitting there thinking, well, how do you expect to be good at something that you don't practice? I watched the NCAA championship last night and I saw UConn beat the snot out of Purdue. And I'd be willing to bet you that the guys at UConn practiced in order to become good basketball players. They didn't just say, gosh, I prayed this morning to Jesus and I asked Jesus to help me win a championship. But I've never been in the gym. I never shot any jumpers. I never worked on my game. But I want to wake up tomorrow and be Caitlin Clark or something. Like nobody does that. Nobody wants to wake up in the morning and be LeBron. And you didn't even shoot any jumpers in the gym, right? So what we're doing every day is we're getting up every morning for financial consciousness training to shoot jumpers in the gym. This is what we're doing. And so for those of you that are doing this, I applaud you. I can tell you as a financial scientist that you're doing exactly the right thing. And the effects are going to really show themselves in the short term for sure, because there are short-term opportunities to make money, but then it'll also really show in the long term because what's going to happen is, see, success is contagious. Wealth is contagious. And what's going to happen is that financial contagion is going to affect your children and grandchildren and the people around you. My dissertation chair, his name was Andrew Karolyi, and he is, if I'm not mistaken, I believe he's now at Cornell University. He's a big shot at Cornell. I gotta Google him and see exactly what he's doing. But his whole area of expertise was actually financial contagion. And a lot of people don't know this, that actually financial viruses spread just like the pandemic, just like other viruses, just like the flu, just like an STD, right? So you can have financial STDs that can spread. Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen was just over in China trying to find a way to contain their financial STD because the Chinese economy is kind of going to crap because they had a little bit too much debt and now it's starting to catch up. But then at the same time, prosperity can spread. And so what I want you to do is to come home with your family and be contagious, be financially contagious, be contagious with your energy, be contagious with your insight, be contagious with your vision, be contagious with your decisions, be contagious with your knowledge. And that's going to naturally elevate the water. That rising tide really does lift all boats. You know me, I don't believe in fantasies. I don't believe in fairy tales. So before, when I heard the rising tide will lift all boats, I said, actually, that's not true. That does not work in the American economy. When the American economic tide rises, the black boat doesn't always lift the way the white boat does. As you saw, for example, this week, the unemployment numbers came out. Everybody's unemployment numbers got better except black people. So that tide rose, but our boat did not rise. The employment boat did not rise for black people. But this is an example. When you take control of the water, when you're taking control of the boat, then the rising tide will lift all the boats. In your family, you can lift that tide. In your family, you can be the catalyst. And in fact, for the All Black National Convention this year, which is going to be in Chicago, October 25th through the 27th, we already picked our theme. Our theme is that black leadership starts in the home. That's the theme. Black leadership starts at home. Basically, if you're looking for a black leader, then here's what I want you to do. I want you to go look in the mirror, and I want you to talk to the person in the mirror. And that is your black leader. I want you to look at your partner in your family, your husband or your wife, and that is a black leader. If you look at the people around you, those are your black leaders, because those are the people that have the ability to get you to where you want to get to by making certain moves and specific moves that will put you in a better place. All right. So what I want to do actually is I want to dig into Terrence Howard. Did anybody see where Terrence Howard did that interview where he came out with that big ass crazy looking perm, and he was talking about how he was being mistreated by CAA, the company or the agency that kind of controls all the black people in Hollywood? They control everybody. And basically CAA, Creative Artists Agency, is this agency that represents anybody who is anybody in Hollywood, A-lister, B-lister, C-lister. I think even Risa Tisa, I think, just signed with CAA. And a lot of your biggest stars signed with CAA. And I'm not making fun of Terrence Howard, but I ain't gonna lie. In that interview, you know who it reminded me of when I saw him with that big perm? Anybody remember the movie Friday? Anybody remember Big Worm from Friday? That's what I saw with Terrence. Like, I really, like, thought about Big Worm. I said, oh my God, he looks like Big Worm. With this big old like Suzanne Summers looking permy hat, it was flowing in the wind, and it was really hilarious. In fact, I think I have a picture of Terrence, from the interview, which just, I mean, I don't, I just, it just, it, it distract, it was a distraction, right? So there's Terrence, right? That's what he looked like there. But you all know, like the ladies, y'all know, to get your hair flowing and looking luxurious, you got to put the rollers in, right? So I picture Big Worm with the rollers when I look, because I said he goes to bed with hair rollers to look that good. That's a silky, shiny, smooth, bouncy perm. So Terrence shows up with the big bouncy perm, and he's explaining, you know, pretty articulately actually, that how he got screwed by CAA. And I'm gonna tell you exactly how Terrence Howard got screwed. And again, I like Terrence Howard. I want to be 100% clear. One of my favorite movies was Hustle and Flow. I didn't watch Empire. I'm not gonna lie. Empire bothered me because I have this thing that I try to hold on to called morals. And I felt that Lee Daniels was the wrong person to create a show like that. And I talked about it a lot, to the point where Don Lemon specifically went on the Tom Joyner Morning Show to specifically do a segment specifically explaining why this loudmouth professor, Boyce Watkins, is wrong about the show Empire and wrong about his friend Lee Daniels and wrong about what he had to say. And I just said, well, no, this show bothers me because it drives me insane that when it comes to black people, you take the most mentally ill, most dysfunctional people that are going to mass represent the most dysfunctional side of our culture and make us look like crazy buffoons, and you call that entertainment. I don't call it entertainment. I call it poison, right? So anyway, that's what happened. That's my history with Empire. So if you ask me who the characters are on Empire, the only one I can really name, only ones I can name are Terrence Howard, Taraji P. Henson, two very talented actors, by the way, and then Jussie Smollett, because he came to Chicago and then lied and said that he went to go get a Subway sandwich at 2 o'clock in the morning on the coldest day that we'd had in Chicago in 100 years. Everybody in Chicago, by the way, when Jussie went out and made that story up, every single person I know in Chicago instantly knew he was lying, and it was because of how cold it was that day. It was so cold that day, I couldn't even go into my garage. I said, who in the hell, what celebrity is going to be out at 2 o'clock in the morning looking for a Subway sandwich on a day like this? Maybe you was looking for a foot long, but it wasn't at Subway, if you know what I mean. Anyway, let me get back to it. Let me stop being petty and tell you why I think the Terrence Howard situation is really interesting. And I'm going to lay this out as a financial consciousness exercise. I promise you, I'm not here just to make jokes about his perm, even though that perm is hilarious. I just, Terrence, you got to wear it in the next interview because it was so funny. All right, so what he basically said was this. Terrence Howard basically said that CAA, Creative Artists Agency, screwed him, which they did. They did that. They pimped him. They should have been wearing the perm. They should have had the pimp suit with the perm and all that, because that's what they do. They're very good at making sure that their economic interests are represented. Their economic consciousness level is incredibly high. You guys know in the Black Business School, we have all the students read a book, a special book that I love called An Empire of Their Own, How the Jews Invented Hollywood. And once we get done with all of Dr. Claude Anderson's books, we're going to read that book in Powernomics training, which we do every Wednesday night at 8:30. I'll give you guys the link in a minute if you want to join us. I want us to read the book, not so we can sit back and be mad about the economic success of the Jewish community. I don't believe in just sitting around being a hater on successful people. I don't do that player haterology. That my PhD is in finance, not player haterology. I think it's a great laboratory in terms of understanding what it looks like when a community empowers itself through structured and consistent empire building. So Creative Artists Agency came out of that movement. If you read that book, An Empire of Their Own, How the Jews Invented Hollywood, they talk about the development of Creative Artists Agency and how they said, we, you know, as we're building this industry called Hollywood for our people to serve the economic interests of our people first, we're going to also have to represent these actors and actresses and directors and producers. And so why not build our own agency, right? So instead of doing what Terrence Howard and Taraji and all and everyone else does, where we somehow expect to be adequately represented by people who don't look like us, they said, no, we don't expect to be represented adequately by people who don't look like us. We're going to be represented by people who do look like us, right? So that particular community has a lot of control over the CAA, and it's just, it is what it is, right? So Terrence went to the CAA, and what happened was, they went to the studios again because their cousin Ari is running, you know, Paramount Pictures or something, right? And what they do is they form these things called package deals or syndicates or something, where basically what they do is the agents are trying to get the studios to raise, you know, $100 million to invest in their project, right? So what somebody probably did with CAA was they said, you know, we've got these really interesting Black people. One of them has a fabulous perm. The other one, you know, is Lee Daniels, who's a good director. He's a little weird, but he's a good director. And Taraji, super talented actress. She's going to be very upset, though, because she also feels that she wasn't adequately paid. But it's okay. These people don't have any power anyway. So we're going to package them all together, and we're going to make a show for Black people. We're going to basically take Diddy's story. We're going to look at Bad Boy Records, because that's kind of what Diddy said. I think Diddy actually said that I don't think they took the whole part about the Diddy parties and stuff, all the extra stuff that's coming out. They didn't. I don't know if all that was in Empire, but maybe it was. But I don't watch the show. And we're going to take this story and we're going to put it on in the tradition of consistently exploiting these people who don't have business models in their community because they're all looking to come work for us. We're going to put it on screen and we're going to make ourselves a lot of money. We believe that this show can draw attention, draw eyeballs, which then allows us to sell those eyeballs to advertisers. And it worked. It absolutely positively worked. I think Empire drew extraordinary viewership, 10, 20 million episodes, I mean, something crazy, massive numbers. I believe I read a number somewhere in the tune of about $100 million a year in ad revenue. So it was an enormous, enormous success. And it pretty much took every aspect of that side of Black culture, from the music to the gangsterism and everything else, and the blend of the Diddy and Berry Gordy stories, and said, okay, let's make some money off of these people's experience, right? And what's interesting about that, number one, is that there aren't many examples that I think most of us can name where you've seen Black people get together and raise the capital to take a story from, say, the Jewish community or the Asian community and make money at the same level in the same way, right? We're not necessarily the ones who show up with the level of economic consciousness to be the ones who package the story. We're the ones who want to be part of the package. Do you understand? This is why I specifically created financial consciousness training, because in an economic negotiation, people have different levels of consciousness. There are people whose consciousness is in the basement, and there are people whose consciousness is in the penthouse, right? There are people who are looking at the situation from a bottom-up perspective. I'm the worker. I need you to pay me. And then there are people who are looking at it from a top-down perspective. Their consciousness is, how much am I going to pay him? Okay, I'm going to raise money. I got to go pay her. How do I manipulate? How do I move these people around like chess pieces? Do you understand? Let me know if you're following this. It's like looking at a chessboard. The person that's looking down at the chessboard has a different level of economic consciousness and understanding of the game than the person who's on the chessboard. You understand? So Taraji and Terrence and all the other talented people, even Lee Daniels himself, I imagine, were all pieces on the chessboard. And CAA, you know, their consciousness was, okay, we are going to move these pieces together and create a checkmate that will allow us to walk away with $100 million a year. So what Terrence is basically saying in his lawsuit, and he has every right to do this, and I applaud his lawsuit. I think it's great. I think it's good to fight for what you want. I have nothing against his lawsuit. I mean, it's obviously better to fight in advance. That way you don't feel disgruntled and have to go back in time and get what you should have gotten in the first place. The best approach, the approach that your children are going to have, is they're going to fight these fights in advance. They're going to show up and say, I have enough economic consciousness because my parents studied from this weird guy 50 years ago named Dr. Boyce Watkins. And way back in 2024, he explained that when I go into these negotiations, I have to be able to see things from a certain perspective so I can make sure that my interests are represented. I'm not here to show up in the old ancient Negro spiritual tradition of allowing myself to be victimized and then circling back and explaining why you screwed me because you simply outsmarted me, you outthought me, you outplanned me. No, we don't do that here. We are strategic. We solve problems in advance. We don't try to solve them retroactively. Do you understand? We're not going to do the Megan Thee Stallion thing where Megan Thee Stallion goes in, signs a contract because she wants to be a star, becomes a big star, and then says, y'all screwed me. And I get it. She was mad and everything else, but I'm sitting here thinking, where exactly did they screw you? Did they force you to sign this contract? Well, no. Did they forge your signature on the contract? No. Were you allowed to read the contract? Or did they block it from you and say, you can't read this? We're not going to let you read this. No. Well, what happened? Well, I just wanted to be famous, and that's why I was willing to sign anything. Oh, so your consciousness was not high because you were distracted. Again, distracted people, their consciousness, they're aware. Remember, consciousness is connected to awareness. So your awareness was impacted because you were distracted by the big shiny lights and the twerking and everything else that you get to do, right? So because you were fantasizing about when they go into Laker games. With, you know, remember, Peyton, this is real interesting, right? Did anybody notice Lizzo goes to Lakers game, her booty's out. Megan goes to Lakers game and her titties are out. Why do the women, this is my little pet peeve. Sorry if I sound like an old man shaking his fist at the air. Why is it the black women that got to show up with booties and titties out? I've never seen Gwyneth Paltrow showing up with her booty out. She ain't got no booty. I mean, but still though, you know, really, like, so I just don't get it. It doesn't make sense to me. But anyway, circling back. So here's the deal. So effectively, Terrence and Taraji, did they get screwed? I absolutely 100% fundamentally agree that they did. Are they fighting back? I mean, and should they be fighting back? Yeah, absolutely. I support their lawsuits 100%. I don't have any interest in seeing the people at CAA continuously exploiting anybody. I think that they need to be challenged in their behavior. What do I see in this situation? I basically see a scenario where they said, okay, we've got these artists. Power is in our favor. We have leverage. Why? Well, because we're the big kahunas. We got the connections. We run the agency. We're thinking about the industry. Our consciousness is different from theirs. They're just trying to get famous. They're trying to scrap for their next opportunity. Well, we've got all these talented people that we've collected together, and we get to move them around like chess pieces to create whatever we want to create, to manifest. We have positioned ourselves as economic gods. Remember, God consciousness is the highest level of consciousness you can have. If you want to know specifically where God consciousness lives, it lives in the sixth dimension. One day, if you're bored and you want to have a long conversation, I'll explain to you why God consciousness, in my view, lies in the sixth dimension. So you live in the third dimension. The fourth dimension goes up to time. Fifth dimension goes up to understanding the possibilities and all the alternate realities. The sixth dimension is the God dimension. So they live in the God dimension. They can literally manifest it like a God, whatever they want to see. They can say, you know, if we take that Negro and this Negro and pull them together, we can create another show of Black people. We can make Good Times Part Two, and we can go sell that to the studio. And then that becomes a thing. That becomes Black culture. Black people start to love it, and we start to make all this money because we just put this thing together that literally didn't exist until it existed in our minds. So that's how they set things up. So then what happens is they go to Terrence and they say, Hey buddy, hey bro, you know, they talked to, they'd like to be down with us and everything. So say, hey bro, how you doing, man? Love the perm. I got a great idea for a show, and it's called Empire, and we're packaging this together, and we're gonna take it to the studio, and we're going to and you're gonna get this much. And again, because the consciousness isn't necessarily there, there's no conversation. Well, how much are y'all gonna make? Or what's, you know, what's the other side? How much is everybody else getting out of this? How much is, you know, that's not there. It's like, oh, wow, I get another X, you know, $200,000 an episode or whatever. That's a lot of money. Honestly, I'm going to tell you the truth. Sometimes I deliberately reduce my consciousness. I don't really count other people's money. I've had that happen where people have packaged me into stuff and they've been like, okay, boys, this is what you're going to get. And sometimes, honestly, I don't feel the need to say, well, what are they going to get? What are they going to get? What are they going to get? But then what that does is that does nullify my right and my ability to circle back years later and say, y'all screwed me. Y'all didn't give me my cut. I should have got more because you was making this much. You was thinking, well, it's better to deal with these issues in advance than to deal with them after you've already signed the deal, after you've already made the agreement, because you had every opportunity that you had, that you wanted to ask those questions. Now, those are tough questions, though, not just because they require a level of understanding of the process and a level of discipline that sometimes actors and actresses and whatever may not necessarily have, but it also is a confrontation with power. You see, because CAA, because their consciousness is so high, they're very strategic to make sure that they structure the game in a way where the power already lies in their favor. They've already set up the system where they've already made sure that there's 10 of you and only one of them. Right. So they're already in a position where they can literally say to you, hey, Terrence, look, if you don't like $200,000 an episode, you know, we can go get somebody else. Don Cheadle, I don't know. Maybe y'all can help me know who they would get. I don't think Don Cheadle would have worked on Empire. But, you know, somebody else, right? I think there's only one Terrence Howard, though. He's a great actor. Love that actor. But so maybe they can go get Diddy, right? Go get the actual source. And so the point of the matter, though, is this consciousness does come with a Michael Ealy. That would have been good. Good choice, CJ. Is that CJ? There we go. So really it's kind of tough to be conscious. Like with great consciousness comes a great amount of responsibility, because you go from sitting at the little children's table to trying to sit at the table with grown men and grown women. You start having those big boy negotiations where you say, you know, I don't really like this deal because I know you guys are going to make $100 million and I think I deserve, you know, 20% of that. In order to really have conversations at that level, there has to be planning and preparation in advance when you have enough power and enough leverage to be able to have that grown-up negotiation, which requires some degree of preparation. I remember going to Hollywood, and I had this amazing opportunity to sit down for hours with Will Smith's brother, Harry. We met twice. Each time we talked for 2 or 3 hours, and he was such a smart guy. That's led me, after that conversation, I have so much respect for Will's family, and he looks just like Will, which was really weird because he's staring at me as we're talking, and I feel like I'm looking at Will Smith. It was very weird. But one of the things that I remember discussing is the negotiation with Hollywood studios. And he was the one that actually told me that that the studios, you know, they're pretty gangster. They protect their own interests pretty fiercely. And he mentioned one thing that I thought was interesting. He said that Warner Brothers to this day swears that Harry Potter never made a profit. They swear that that whole franchise has never made a profit, and that's because you can manipulate the bookkeeping, right? You know, who the hell in their right mind is going to believe that the Harry Potter franchise, the one of the most successful franchises of all time, never made a profit? Well, of course they made a profit, but a lot of that money gets eaten up automatically through the bookkeeping and the way the fees are distributed, and you can give the appearance that you haven't made a profit. Why would they do that? Well, so they don't have to pay any actors that are entitled to a percentage of the profit. So one thing Harry mentioned, and I hope he doesn't mind me mentioning this, is he said that in the 90s, he and Will would negotiate deals. Like when they did that movie where Will was like the last guy on Earth or something, I don't remember what it was called, and he played the really angry superhero. Of course, if you're black and you're a superhero, you got to be toxic, right? Because the black man is always toxic. But that's how we show up, I guess, in the eyes of some people. Hancock, great movie. Will's a great actor. And he said that before they would do deals where they would negotiate a percentage of the gross. And then the Hollywood studios would say, oh, the expenses are so high and these movies are so tough to make. So how about we do a percentage of the profit? And they didn't want to do a percentage of the profit because they know how they play the game. They know that these studios will manipulate the numbers so that the profit isn't what it needs to, what it's really supposed to be. So he and Will had to pivot because of that. And to me, that comes from being strategic, but also it comes from a certain level of planning and preparation. In order for Will and his team to negotiate at a big boy status, they had to sort of have a level of economic consciousness that was a little higher than the typical actor who's just trying to get his next movie role. And if you look at Will's life, Will's family isn't just a family full of weirdos and actors. I'm sorry, that stuff with him and Jada is a little bit strange. You should be putting all your business out there. Will, if you see this, please stop that. It's not appropriate. I don't like any of that. And I'm glad you kind of chilled on it and stop slapping people at the Oscars. I worried about you after that. However, if you look at the family, though, you know, he has really created this amazing empire that goes so much deeper than just what movie am I going to be in next? I mean, sure, the movie Bad Boys is coming out, but I bet you that if you were to go into the backdrop of Will Smith and his family's setup, they've probably got 1,000 things happening that people don't even know about. They've got a business. They got a real legit business as a family, such that it wouldn't matter. Will could go to every Oscar that they allow him into and slap every single person on stage for the next 5-10 years, and he's still going to make $100 million a year. He's still going to make his money. He can walk into a negotiation and say, F all of y'all, I'm going to pee on the table and slap all of you on my way out the door. And he would still be able to make money. And the reason he can do that is because his family's level of economic consciousness is at a point where they've strategically positioned themselves and prepared themselves to have grown-up negotiations. So the difference between, say, Will and, say, a Terrence Howard, unfortunately, is I would imagine that even if you had a time machine and you went back to the point where no one knew that whether Empire was going to succeed or not, nobody knew how much money it was going to make. All Terrence knew was he was being invited to be a part of this new show that looked like it had some potential and that it was going to get funded. I'd be willing to bet you that it would still be difficult for Terrence to negotiate the amount of money that he's arguing that he deserves in retrospect. You know, I think Terrence deserves every penny that he's asking for. I really do. And I hope that he gets all of it. But the thing about negotiation is negotiation requires something, again not just economic consciousness to be strategic and to prepare yourself to be able to have an adequate negotiation, but part of an adequate negotiation comes down to what is referred to as a credible threat or leverage. That's another way that you might describe it. Leverage and a credible threat means that if you don't give me what I want, I can just drop my ink pen and walk away from the table and be okay with that. Will Smith has a credible threat. Will Smith can say, hey, I need $25 million for this movie. And you say, oh, him and Hollywood. No, we were thinking about giving you, $25 in a bucket of chicken. Will Smith he has the ability to say thank you, but no thank you. I'm going to go somewhere else. He's got options. We always use that word options a lot. And I want you to understand how the word options isn't just applied to the stock market. Options apply to you, your life. You've always known what options were, even before I taught them to you in class. So effectively, I don't know if Terrence Howard had that same kind of heat. I don't think Terrence, I don't know. And it's not just about how famous he is. It's about how structured you are. Because I can tell you, I have options. I have the ability, because I'm strategic and I think about things. I've negotiated with people. I sat there and I was on the phone with Kanye West and I saw his finances. I saw that this man is not poor. He's got hundreds of millions of dollars in assets. And I said, I don't feel comfortable being a part of this anymore. I'm going to go now. I wish you the very best with everything that you do, but this is not the place for me. And I did not lose a wink of sleep that night. I thought it was kind of cool to talk to him because he was at that time the most talked about person on the planet. But I didn't walk away saying, ah, man, I blew my big break. I blew my big opportunity. Now, here's what I want you to take. Let's take this full circle. Think about most of our people when they show up to Hollywood or when they show up to the music industry. I'm going to get real serious on you for a minute here. Think about the people that went to the Diddy parties and got that one opportunity to be next to a person they've been fantasizing about hanging out with their whole life. And I want you to imagine you're sitting across the table from Diddy, and Diddy says, I need you to sign this deal. It's a slave contract. You're going to do all the work. I'm going to keep all the money. I'm going to screw you. I'm going to definitely screw you financially, and I might really screw you physically. And I need you to go ahead and sign this right now. I want you to think about how many people would feel comfortable saying, no, thank you. I don't want to do that. Right? Most people won't do that. Well, why? Well, because all the leverage, all the power is in the favor of the industry or the corporation or the agency. Right? Well, why is that? Well, because you're not in a position where you have any options. It's no different from integration. You see, Hollywood's exploitation of Black people is deeply connected to how integration exploited Black people in an aggregate way. It's very deeply connected. It's the same thing. When you show up to the party and you have nothing to negotiate with, you have no leverage, then you're going to be screwed. You're going to get the smallest piece of chicken. You're going to get the lowest pay. They're going to have you sleeping in the basement. You don't have anything that gives you the power to elevate yourself. Well, why? Well, because you never studied things like powernomics. Dr. Claude Anderson explains in Powernomics in the first couple of chapters, he says, power is it's the ability to pursue your agenda despite the opposition of others. Power is not something that people are going to give you. And so what I ask you is, when you talk about power, how many of us really spend time thinking about how to prepare strategically and have the consciousness and the discipline to make sure that when we show up to the table that we have power and leverage? Most people that show up in Hollywood are desperate. They hungry. They ain't got no options, no opportunities, don't even know how to start a business. Here you are, you done spent 10,000 hours in acting class, singing class, dance school. You done got all the talent in the world to sing and dance for white folks until the day you die, and you've never spent one second figuring out how to develop your own structure around that that's going to give you some options in case they don't want you. So you are in a position where your ability to even exercise your talent, your ability to live your dream, your ability to even be financially secure is in the hands of this other party, which has a history of oppressing Black people in a horrendous way. How do you think that's going to end? How in the hell do you think you're going to win that game? That makes me want to start singing like Michael Jackson in The Wiz. Remember he said, you can't win. You can't break even and you can't get out of the game. People say things will get better, but really they're just staying the same. You can't win, right? Because that's it. Seriously, you can't win, child. You can't win, right? You can't win because you didn't even prepare yourself to win. You're not even structured to win. You're playing the wrong game at the wrong time. You didn't show up prepared. You didn't go spend no time shooting jumpers in the gym. You're not ready. You're showing up to a battle and you have no army. All you can do at that point is lay down your sword and surrender. You showed up unprepared. So I'm not saying that Terrence Howard did this. I'm not saying that Terrence Howard is stupid. I want to say 100 with 100% clarity. I support his lawsuit. He has every right to sue these people. We know what they did. Y'all know how they get. And I hope he wins. But what I'm saying is that really, as you elevate your economic consciousness, you should look at this and learn from this. You know, life is a classroom, and you should say, I don't want that to happen to me, and I don't want that happening to my kids. So one easy way that you can begin that process of defending yourself is saying, okay, how am I going to make sure that I put my child in a position where they've got some options? You don't want your daughter. I've been to Hollywood. You don't want your beautiful daughter sitting up in LA dreaming about being the next Taraji P. Henson without knowing what price Taraji might have had to pay behind the scenes in order to get to that opportunity that she has, where she's still on stage crying because because she still feels like they screwed her. I mean, I'm just honest, this full disclosure, because I can't sit here and lie to you about stuff. You do know that Taraji's agent was this horny old man who was accused of really liking, he really likes young, beautiful black girls, and he really likes to kind of, he got accused of like wanting to pull his pants down in order to get, to create opportunities for you. And I do know an actress who actually interacted with this guy. Again, I'm not going to talk about stuff I don't know. I'm just going to talk, but I am going to talk about stuff I do know. And again, when you see your favorite actors and actresses, and I'm going to take Taraji out of it because I don't want to make it about her. But when you see a lot of your so-called bright, shiny stars that are the people that you look up to and admire so much, you got to understand some of them literally had to make a deal with the devil to get to where they are. They really had to offer to, they had to sell some things that money should never be able to buy. So make sure you just have that leverage. Make sure you're prepared. Make sure you're strategic. Consciousness. It's all about consciousness. I'm going into battle. I don't just think about the battle when I'm in it. I think about the battle before it begins. Sun Tzu, in The Art of War, he said, every battle is won before it begins. When UConn won that national championship in glorious fashion last night, that game was won 3, 4 months ago in the gym. They won that bat. They won that game in the weight room. They won that game, on the basketball court back in Connecticut when they were practicing extra three pointers to make sure that they could dominate any team that they ran into. So you got to prepare in advance, and that's what consciousness is all about. It's about being strategic. Okay. So anyway, that's my discussion for today. I'm going to give you all a couple things as we bounce out of here. Number one, make sure you get on the text list so we can do our financial consciousness training. We do this every morning at 10 a.m. Eastern. Text the word morning to 87948. If you have not done that yet, text the word morning, MORNING, to 87948, and I'll send you an invitation. I only send out the text maybe 2 or 3 times a week, but you'll get the invitation, and then you'll be on the list, and Zoom will send you a reminder and all that good stuff. Number two, I'm about to, when we get done, do the portfolio power play, where all we're going to talk about is stock market investing and what's going on in the stock market. And I'm going to do that right after we get done. That starts at 11 a.m. Eastern. I talk to you all every day. That's what we do in the Black Business School. So if you're curious and you haven't really jumped in, we're really serious about this. I think we're the best in the world at what we do. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to share the link with you guys to join us for the portfolio power play. I'm going to put it in the chat. If I can get the chat to open up. And so if you'd like to join the Portfolio Power Play and you're curious about the stock market, there's certainly a lot to talk about. And in case you don't know, I did write my dissertation on the stock market. So I'm a consistent, I don't just believe, I know for a fact that if we were able to get most of our people to participate in the stock market on some regular basis, then we would actually increase black wealth by a couple trillion dollars in a generation. In fact, if we got into stock market investing as much as we get into basketball, football, and twerking, we would actually dominate the world. I kid you not. Third, this week we're showing our film B1 the movie. We spent 3 years working on this movie. It's really, really good. Instead of complaining about the crap that's out there, we decided that we wanted to make our own film. Rick Mathis is the director, but there's a lot of great people in the movie, from RZA Islam to Dr. George C. Frazier, and a lot of great people. So if you want to join, we're going to show the film this week in Powernomics training, which I'm going to give you. I'm putting the link in here for you guys to register for that. It's going to be Wednesday night at 8:30. And also, if you want to get on the text list to get a text notification, text the word greatness to 87948. If you text greatness to 87948, I will send that to you. And then last but not least, I'm going to be in Los Angeles on April 19th. And we're going to do the Stock Options Summit. The date is coming up. It's just a few days from now. So you might want to go ahead and lock in your ticket and get your plane ticket and all that stuff. And I'll see you guys in LA. If you want to join us, just go to stockoptionssummit.com. That's stockoptionssummit.com. Okay, so those are the announcements for today. And I will see you all in a little bit with the Portfolio Power Play. Thank you guys for hanging out with me. It was great to see you as always. I will see you all tomorrow morning at 10 a.m. if you can't make the Portfolio Power Play. Have a wonderful day and be conscious no matter what. I'll see you guys soon. Peace.